I will sing through fire and thunder. Appreciate the gifts of God has got in our little assembly.
Yeah.
To me, they're the best in the world. I'm not the only one that feels that way. I think Brother Josh Goff was telling me the other day, he said, our musicians are just absolutely out of this world. I agree. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, but to begin reading in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way, thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherewith shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Very familiar scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's just pray. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for your word and this opportunity tonight just to look into the these things. We still live in a place and a land where we can gather, Lord. And even in your prophet in his days just said, may we keep that as long as we can. And Lord, we realize that forces are working, and so we want to be good stewards. And we want to take this time, Lord, just to look into your word and ask God that you would come and move among us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Do what only you can do. I surrender myself. And your people are here, Lord, with attentive ears and heart. And so, Lord, we just pray that you come and just inhabit everything that's said and done tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to title this tonight, When God Moves. Almost like a question, but When God Moves. And so I want to just make a few comments, kind of springboarding a little bit off of Sunday morning service there this last week. You know, we live in an hour where this world is passing away. You know, we understand from the message that the planet itself will never go away. The sun, the moon, the stars, whatever. But the cosmos of man, the system of man, the sin and all the things that are there is passing away. And so, as we were talking Sunday morning, quoting Brother Branham, was saying that in order for us to go to the new, there has to be a dying out of the old before you can go to the new. And we all want a millennium. If you look out there and you look at the world, you see the things that are going on, and we all would like to see the coming of the Lord because of the way this world is getting. And so we know there's a millennium coming. There's a time of peace on this earth where there's not going to be any troubles and sorrows and so forth. But as the prophet was saying, that before that can happen, this world has to pass away before that one can come into view. And so the dying out is what makes something come new. It's a simple concept that we're all aware of, is that if you're going to live at all, you're going to live off of the substance of something that was once living. And so, you know, if you, as Brother Ram said, if you eat the wheat died. If you eat the pig or the cow, they died. You know, whatever it is, in order for us to live off of it, it has to come from something that was living. Of course, you got science now making all kinds of stuff, but that's off of that other tree, you know. And so that's a concept that's there, that life can only come from death. We can only live eternally because Jesus came and gave his life for us. And so we realize that that's the thing that's happening. And things that once in this world, even in my time, things that was considered stable and solid and wholesome, you can't rely on those things now. They're not there anymore because everything's passed away. This is why we need to always remember when Brother Ram came, he was bringing us a message. And all these sermon titles and all these things have a place and a reason. And so that's why he preached many times, the world is falling apart. And so, because it is, and he wants us to understand these things, because anything that God does is for our betterment. Right. Even though we might not see it, we might not understand it right up front, we can look back on our lives and say, you know, I see times where God was doing something and I didn't understand it, or I didn't like it, or I didn't think I liked it, whatever, but I look back now and say, thank God for what he did. And so we can all say that. And so we just, if we can look back and see those things and see that God was with us and taking care of us and had our back even when we didn't know it, even as a sinner, I know he was there. I can look back now and see that. So we can look back and see that and trust and say, you know, then we ought to be able to swing around and look forward. And even though we can't see it, we should just own the principle of, hey, I know he's been with me. He's never been gone. He's always been here. Beside me, watching over me, so I know he will going forward. We have to sink our teeth into the word, where the word says that he that's begun a good work in you, he will finish it until the day of the Lord Jesus. And so these things that are all passing away, we can't rely on. We just have to accept that as not a fearful thing, but a glorious thing. Right? A glorious thing. No matter where God takes us, we know it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful because he's heading us to that eternal day. And so there's a level here of dying out that we have to do in this world, this cosmos, but even in our own walk. We have to die out to be born again. Yeah. We have to die out through trials every day. I'll just deal with it this way. And that's the wrong way to deal with it. We want to die out to ourselves so that it's the Lord that can. And until we do that, then he can't, right? So it's just a little simple concept that we've talked about many times in the past. And so we all want to remember that even in our own lives it's that way. And so in this hour, the pressures of this world are greater. Now, Brother Ram preached a sermon, letting off the pressure, and we talked a little bit about it the other day. But you have to realize that the only thing that's going to be left standing in this end time is God's people.
Right.
And he's separating the things out. You know, separating the chaff from the wheat.
Yeah.
And there's a fire that burns, and the heat of the sun, like we know that the wheat out in the field, and that sun comes down and begins to beat down upon the plant, and the shuck pulls back and says, oh, I can't stand that word, that message. But the wheat grain just stays right there, and though it may be hot, it's baking the greenness out. In other words, getting us ready for rapture. Everybody else pulls away from it, and all that plant's going to be burned.
Yeah.
But the wheat goes into the barn, into the garner.
Right.
And so we have to realize that these things, this is what's going on. And so as we look out and see the world collapsing and all the things going on, the prophet told us they were wicked.
Right.
He told us these things were coming. And so it shouldn't be fearful to us. It's just growing pains, maybe. But to just say, praise God, we're right on track. We know what's going on because we've been told. We see it. And so there's no question about that. And so, but you see, there has to be an accumulation of the things that the message has brought to us. God sent this message for a reason, to fix all the things that were wrong. So he would have a bride that was without spot or wrinkle and so forth. So all these truths, all these events, all this, the message as a whole came to do something in us.
Yeah.
And there has to be an accumulation of all these things that God, when he preached to us, serpent seed, then, you know, that should change our lives when we understand that concept and understand what's going on. Serpent seed and predestination and false anointed ones at the end time. And all these truths were given to us so we could understand, so that we could discern the two spirits in the framework of the church, and by God's Spirit withstand the other one. In other words, we become an invincible army. These truths that we have are here to do that. And so when we receive these truths, it should change us, right? We should quit going around and saying, because we heard someone speak in tongues, they got the Holy Ghost. We should know that's not a sign. We should see, because why? The message has told us.
Yeah.
We should understand, you know, why Jesus had to be a virgin birth.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And to know that Mary was just an incubator.
Yeah.
Because if you make her egg part of it, then it makes it change everything, right?
Yeah.
So these truths are there because every one of them will make a difference in our walk and our life, and help us be able to navigate through this hour that we're in, headed to that way. That's why God sent those things. But see, there's got to be an accumulation of all this stuff that God has brought to us, these things, for a reason. So that it would accumulate all together in one body, the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham tells us, speaking of the accumulation of these things, he said, now seeing all of this accumulation of evidence that the hour that we now live in, I think it's a good thing to rehearse these things and to draw them out, since the seals have been opened, and find out the truth of these things, as God has been so loyal to us with his grace to show us these things. Amen? God has been so good to us to show us these things that we might understand. Sometimes it might be good just to go back through memory lane and remember, and I do that. I've said, where would I be without this message? If I was still just back in Pentecost. You know, we need to think about the things that God has brought to us, because there's nothing like truth.
Amen.
Right? Nothing like knowing truth. And so, Brother Bam said, it would be good for us to draw these things out and look at these things and go over these things that God has so wonderfully given us. And when we can see the hour that we're living in, especially, to look at these things and know this. And so, all these truths, God expects them to change us. And eventually, I know it may not be popular. It's woe is me, ouch, that hurts. But remember, we know through the message, there is still the stature of a perfect man.
Yeah. Right.
And the purpose is that eventually in us is his divine nature. And so that's the whole thing. That in us, we are so much like him that Brother Bram says we are him. We become him.
Right.
And so this accumulation of all these truths have to come down and it change us until eventually we have his divine nature.
Right.
That we, in our own personal walks, we can add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Because Peter says, for if these things be in you and abound, you know what the word abound means? They need to move forward, you know. If these things be in you and abound, they'll make you where you're not going to be fruitless.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and even goes on to say, you'll never fall. You'll never fail.
Yeah.
If these things are in, why? Because it's him. These things have to abound. So my temper doesn't need to abound, neither does yours. My aggravation doesn't need to abound, neither does yours.
Yeah, right.
What needs to abound is his divine nature, which the message has come to get into it, to put into us. Mm-hmm. But the only way that it can come into us is if we die out to this world and the traditions and the teachings and all the things that we've come with thus far. Die out to all that and let the message become our ultimate.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get there. And so, we have certainly seen his divine nature on display in our day in Brother Branham's life. To take a man who had such a temper that he said, I think he said it, he would just laugh. When the boys beat him up, they beat him up for carrying a girl's books, and he went and got the gun and met him, was going to kill him.
Yeah.
And he said he would just, you have to hear the story. A man that had a temper like that, and a man who wanted to kill him, wanted to kill himself.
Yeah.
And look what the message did to him.
Yeah.
How it changed him.
Yeah.
Right? So we've seen it, and you know the testimonies. Everybody says the one thing about it, you know, you couldn't tell him treating his enemies and friends any different. They were all treated the same.
Right.
Brother, sister, I'd like to be able to do that.
Yeah.
How about you?
Sure.
The message has that for you.
Right.
Right? These things are there, and that's the reason why this message came, was to get that divine nature into us. But we have to die out to this world and the teachings of things of the world and our own ambitions. And just remember this. I'll let you fill in all the details, but just remember this concept. If you want to gain something in God, there's something in you that has to diminish.
Right.
And you can fill out what it might be, but that's the concept. And we have to remember that's a daily thing. Not just a one time coming to the altar to get saved, but a daily thing, our whole entire walk with God is daily. And it's, brother, sister, it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
It's not something going to be easy, because it's not easy to die.
No.
But praise God, the Holy Spirit's here to make sure that he helps us with those things.
Yeah.
So this dying out, birth pains and so forth I was speaking of, it's just the way life is. It's the process of life. Everything is like that. So we kind of want to just talk about here. We're talking about moving, or when God moves, and when God moves, we should move.
Yeah.
We should move with it. Do you remember we read in the scriptures there a while ago? It says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, Then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from how many sins? Is it all? Right. So if we walk in the light, because he's in that light. Remember, the scripture said God is light. The illumination, that's what revelation is to illuminate you into the things of God and the kingdom of God. It's like turning on a light.
Yeah.
Walking in light, because when you have darkness, you stumble.
Yeah.
So he's in that light, and that light moves. Natural type spiritual. The sun moves.
Yeah.
Right? And when it's down, you can't work. You can't do things, right? When it comes up, now you can move and you can work again.
Yeah.
And so God is light. And there are seasons in your life. There's seasons of God doing things, and there's times where he doesn't seem like he's doing much. There's seasons in a church where it looks like God's moving, but then maybe it looks like for a while he's not.
Yeah.
But he's always being God. Amen. He's always being light. He's always got, but it cycles. And so you want to recognize the cycles of God, and you want to get in sync with them. And when God is moving, respond and move with him.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you want to do. And so he said, if we walk in the light as he's in the light. And so what if you don't walk in the light? I remember Lonnie Jenkins, he would talk about this quite often. See, if you don't walk in the light, well, then you can't say that you have fellowship one with another, because, you know, you're not walking in the light, so we fellowship around the light of the Word.
Yeah.
Then you can't say that, and you can't say that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from, because your access to the blood is by walking in the truth that God's given you for the hour, which is the light for the hour.
Right.
If you want access to forgiveness of sins, you have to accept the truth for your day, what God's doing, what he's shining, what's going on now. You have to accept that in your day to have access to the blood. Because if you just go back to Luther's day and try to live that today, you know the answer to that. You'll be denominated or whatever, and you see. So we have to move with God when he moves to have access to the blood of Jesus Christ, to have full fellowship with the family of God, and be cleansed from our sins. So that's just a little concept there. Just as we go forward, we know that in the Old Testament, that when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were journeying, that they had a pillar of fire. And when that pillar of fire would move, they'd pick up camp and move with it. And when the pillar of fire would stop, they had to stop. Because if the pillar of fire moved and they didn't move, then the presence of God wasn't with them anymore, because it had went on.
Right.
So when God moves, you got to go with him.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, and when he would stand still, they couldn't keep going, because if they did, again, they'd get away from the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to follow the stirring of the Spirit. You have to follow, and the Spirit will always be quickening the word for the day, the light for the day, and we walk in that and have access. It's a whole concept. And so when God moves, we have to move. And so, as we've talked in the past, and if we walk in the light, then through seven church ages, as God was speaking to different messengers and had different things going on, then the church had to move with those things.
Yeah.
So it might have been all locked down into the dark ages, and Luther comes along with a just shall live by faith. And when that revelation struck the earth, especially geographically in Germany, over there, because we weren't here yet over here, but when that struck, that was the light for the day. And the Lutherans caught that message during that day, and they had access to the blood of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and they had a fellowship around the current word for the day,
yeah.
that no one else had, right? Because God was moving.
Right.
When the light moved on into Wesley,
uh-huh.
see, as that moved, then now you couldn't stay with Luther. You had to move on with the light as it went into Wesley.
Right.
And so We couldn't just pick and say, well, I know, you know, I know we're in the Dark Ages and Catholic, and I know Luther's got the message, but I'm just going to stay here. I'm more comfortable right here. Because, you know, if I start listening and believing and proclaiming, they're going to start persecuting me. I'm going to be, you know, so I think I'll just avoid the trials. I'll just stay where I'm at. And that's where you die. So you have to go with God when he moves. And so throughout all the church ages, and here we are after the seven churches, all the way down here to Laodicea, and here we are again. We have light that is moving, a message that God has sent, and we can't just stay back and say, well, you know, I don't want to tell people I believe in serpency. I don't really want to tell people I believe there's one God. You see what I'm saying? You have to, because that's the light and truth for the day. That's the hour. And if you're really a believer, then that's you're part of that message. That serpent seed is truth is in you, trying to get out. You want to share it. You want to tell people. You know, it's like if I find a good restaurant to eat at and find something good, I'm gonna come tell you about it. And then if they rob you like some of these places, I'm gonna tell you about that too. You know, and it's so. But you know, if you love people and you've got something good, you want to share it. You want to tell it, because that means you're part of it. Yeah. You're part of that message. And so, you know, as those church ages moved on, we understand there was the four living creatures, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, and different anointings upon the church through those ages. We couldn't just decide, you know what, I think I'm going to be, here we are in this age, which is the eagle, flying eagle anointing. Well, we could say, well, you know, I don't think I want the eagle anointing. I think I want to be the lion of the, you know, tribe of Judah. I want that anointing. Or I want, you know, most people probably wouldn't choose the ox for martyrdom, right? But maybe a lot of people definitely want to stay with the man anointing. But you see, God has said, no. No longer man. Because eagle is prophetic. Eagle flies up off the ground. Man don't, see? So God is saying, no, the message today is an eagle flying message, and to move with God, you have to move into that prophetic message with him. We can't pick and choose when we get up and move and when we don't move. I remember hearing Brother Branham in the sermon, and God dealing with people. He got pretty firm with the people, and he said, respond to God when he's moving. You got to. And so God is moving, and we want to respond. And so, you know, we shouldn't want to do anything in our lives where the presence of God is not with us. We want his presence with us, his blessing upon it. When we read there in the scriptures just a little while ago, where Moses said to God, he said, if you don't go with us, don't send us out there. Don't send us up. Let me just expound on it. Don't send us into this promised land to fight these enemies, to fight these battles. Don't send us out there if you're not going to be with us. Right. And you know as well as I do that God's not going to send you out there and not be with you. If he's sending you, he will go and he will give you victories. Like I said the other day, do you think God's going to send you out there and not give you victory? He's got a way for you there. There's a way always to have victory in your life over whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he'll send you out there and he'll go with you. And so God had told the children of Israel, you know, we're going to go out here. We're going to go to this promised land. And they were on their journey and all the different things that happened there. And God was saying, Moses was saying to God, if you don't go with us, don't send us. Because we don't want to be out there without your presence. And so Moses said, you know, isn't this how that it's going to declare that we are your people? That's the way you know that we are the people of God, is because the presence of God is with you.
Right.
And Moses, we read it there. Moses was saying that. And so he said, if you go with us, and if you don't go, don't send us out there. And so, because We want him with us. And so that's the thing that makes us different than the whole world, is the presence of God. Yeah. If you don't have that, then all you have is a lodge.
That's right.
Or if you just have some sort of something. But the presence of God makes the difference in the world. So, you know, there's that concept. Now, we'll go and read this in Numbers chapter 14, but before we do, I'm going to give you a little background to it real quick. God had told them to move forward, and they went to do, you know, and so they murmured. And they had all kinds of troubles. And finally, God's telling them, the light's moving, go with it, I'm with you, go with me, we're going to get out, we're going to take over. And they had every excuse in the world that they were coming up with why they couldn't do that. And at some point, finally, because of the things that they had done, God said, you know what? All right, done. You're not going over. You're not going to this promised land. We know why Moses couldn't go. He told them, everybody from 20 years old and upwards, you're not going. You said in your murmuring, God, did God bring us out here? Did we die out here? It'd been better if we'd been back in Egypt.
Yeah.
And he brought us out here for us to die and our little ones to die. And God said, you know what? Your little ones are going to go to that land, but you're not.
That's right.
Because God got tired of them not moving when he was moving.
Yeah.
Right? So there's the backdrop of what we're going to read. And we go to Numbers chapter 14. Begin reading at verse 39. And Moses, this is where Moses tells them, you're not going over. God said no. So Moses tells these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. They should have. They mourned greatly. Now watch this. They rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. So now, God has been telling them to go, and they wouldn't go. They murmur and fight, you know, and all. And finally God says, okay, no, don't go. And they realize they've sinned, they've mourned, they cried all night, and they get up, and then they get up and say, now, we're going to go. We're going to go take that land.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Right.
Moses says, what in the world? Why are you going to do that now? It's too late, right?
Yeah.
Wherefore, now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? Because God has said, don't go. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And now they're going to transgress that by trying to go up anyway when God said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? So go back to that one. I don't think I finished it. So why do you go transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Okay? Go not up, for the Lord's not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. Amen. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. God has said, okay, we're not going. And now they say, okay, we're going to go. And Moses is saying, no, don't do it, because you will pay a price if you do that.
Yeah.
But they presume to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwell in that hill, and smote them and discomforted them even unto Hormah. So they should have went in the first place. They should have walked in the light while they had the light, but then they didn't. And so they lost their opportunity. And so the foolish virgin, the bride in this end time, as the light moves and we go, but foolish virgin doesn't. The rest of the world doesn't. And so you see what happens. You see what happens because of it. Foolish virgins find themselves in tribulation. And so God is moving today. And he's doing it by his word. Doing it by the things that he's revealed to us. You know, as I was saying Sunday, we look at things and we're like looking for great big things all the time. Oh, this is a move of God. And we heard the other day that you know, and I hope you understood what I was trying to get at there. In the days of Elijah, and we're in the days of Elijah, and we've had the rocks rent out of the mountain, we've had the earthquake and so forth, but not saying that God wasn't in those things, but it said God wasn't in it. And what it's saying was, that's not what God's wanting you to point to find him in.
Right.
Because listen, I've been out there where those rocks blew out of the mountain. I've got a picture I took myself, and it's amazing. But that didn't give me a rapture. Right?
Yeah.
I could probably go to Anchorage, Alaska, and see the damage that probably happened way back. You know, that wouldn't give me a rapture, right? But there is a voice of the word to be heard.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the difference. That's where we get our commission for this hour. And so God is moving by that. And so, but so many times we look for great things and all these things like that. And not to diminish meetings where we have a good time and rejoicing and all those things. Those are good. We need those. But that word, right, is the difference. And so I'll end by saying this, that Brother Branham had a friend, Brother Bose, I think is the way named Matson Bose. He was from Sweden, I believe it was. And he went to Chicago. And the Lord told Brother Bose, you will see Chicago shaken by the hand of the Lord, right? By the Lord, you know. And so Brother Branham said that Brother Bose laid his head on his shoulder and cried like a baby. He said, Brother Branham, God told me that we would see Chicago shaking years ago. Now they've voted me out. They kicked me out of my church. I don't know what to do. And Brother Branham said, Brother Bose, he said, God doesn't lie. And you have seen Chicago shaken. The message that came in, the word that came in and preached. And Brother Branham said, Chicago was shaken, not the cannon fodder, but the bride. They did get a shaking. A shaking by the word, by an end time ministry that has come in. And see, and that's it. He declared it. That they've had their shaking. He went back and he named several of the different moves and said, they've had their shaking. They're done.
Yeah.
Right? They've had their visitation and that day is over with. But we have a visitation now.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be in moving with that while the word is moving. Amen. Little simple concept, but just wanted to show you places in the scriptures where this follows through, and it's true that we should walk with God when he moves. Amen. You ever, you know, try to stir yourself up, and you know, you can't just stir yourself up if God's not there to stir you.
That's right.
You know, you just can't do it. So I just want to remember those things. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. We thank you for this little time here we had together just to speak of your word and speak of the things, Lord, that is present before us in this hour. And as always, Lord, we just want to look to you and just ask God that you would let this word come down into our lives, not just to be hearers of it, but also doers. We ask God you bless each life, touch each heart, each person, Lord. May you bless them as they go forth and as they endeavor to live and believe and follow after these things and have a dedicated walk with you. We know, God, that you will meet them in every step they take towards you. And we pray, God, that you just give them an extra anointing, Lord, of revelation in this hour, that as everything is going the way it is, may your people find that burning fire of the Holy Spirit growing stronger and stronger in their lives to combat and stand in this day and put up a standard in this day. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many believers? God is good. Let's see if we can find that song. God is good all the time. I hope this comes to mind. So we'll see if we can sing that before we go. Figure out what key to sing you. God is good.
His Holy Spirit, we can stand.